This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young sitting in with you this evening for another hour. And it's going to be a fun hour. We're going to have interviews. We're going to have news of the day. But most importantly, your calls and your texts, because that's what At Your Service means. Let's go to the phones. Larry's been holding through the break. Hey, Larry, great to talk to you again, my friend.
Good to talk to you. That was a very that was a good synopsis you had on the hearings, the nomination. I've watched it for 2 days. I would say that she's very evasive. When evasive comes into play, she can be very evasive. You know, I was thinking, when is the last time you can remember a job requirement based on race alone? That was Biden's. I'm not sure it was Biden's. I think it was the whatever that panel of people that's behind him. What they went their way, whatever.
Right.
When's the last time you can remember a job where specifically we have to have this person has to be this race to get the job? Can you remember that ever happening?
No, because Larry, if it ever happened in any other context, it would be illegal. If someone did that for any job, for any job application, you would go to jail for that. Maybe not jail, but you would be sued and have civil damages because it's illegal to do that. And yet we're seeing the president do it right in front of our eyes.
And what amazes me is the Republicans have not really said a word about it. You know, I would say that the last time I've heard of it would be in 1947. Jackie Robinson. He's a black man. Mm-hmm. He's going to get this job because he's going to break the color barrier. That's the only, and I'm not even sure that's a good representation. But moving on, Eric Greitens.
Yes.
I am an Eric Greitens. I'm a backer.
Okay.
I know he did something wrong, and I think he has repented. But we have people that I respect. I respect Josh Hawley. I respect Eric Schmidt. I respect Hartzler. They've come out right off the bat and said this guy shouldn't be running for office. Well, right off the bat, we have a bad situation with the woman in the county, in the prosecuting, Kim Gardner.
Correct.
The FBI agent. You know, it almost reminds me of how they went after Trump. They're going after Greitens in the same way. I don't know if Greitens is a threat. I know someone that knows him pretty well, and from like when he was a child, third grade or what, he wanted to be the president. That's what he always said. Yep. He wants to be the president. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Well, I did hear, in fact, Larry, when he was governor, he bought a website domain called Greitens for President.
Okay.
He already had a domain name reserved and purchased for his presidential bid when he was still governor of Missouri. But let's get down to it. The reason why I think most of the Republican establishment is against Eric Greitens, I think it's really comes down to one reason and one reason only, and that's electability. Because if he wins the primary, because of the baggage that is attached to Eric Greitens, if he wins the Republican primary, it allows a Democrat challenger a way to attack Greitens and to appeal certainly to suburban women, to moderates, to say they're not going to vote for him in a general primary. And it creates a situation where, even though Missouri is a red state, you could literally have another Democrat like Claire McCaskill go to Washington, D.C. because of the baggage that Eric Greitens carries. So at least from the folks that I've talked to, the insiders, folks that I can't name their names because you would absolutely know them, their concern is not so much with the politics of Greitens, but with his electability. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It makes perfect sense. On a political sphere, how do you view Eric Greitens?
Well, he's a very strong conservative, but where I sometimes have a problem with Eric Greitens and others is when they go into a position that's just almost to the level of worshiping Donald Trump. Now, I like Donald Trump, and when he advanced conservative causes, I was his biggest cheerleader. But I more about ideas than a personality. And I've heard Eric Greitens say a lot of things about dropping Trump's name as often as possible, where I'm really about the ideas, not about the personality.
Right. I mean, Trump was a leader.
He was a leader.
I miss him. Yes. The guy was he was a leader. He loved his country. I don't know what people are missing. Can we see a difference in 13, 14 months between the presidents? Absolutely.
Yes, we can. And certainly for all, I love it when my liberal friends argue with me about Biden or with Donald Trump and Putin. This is what I say to them, Larry, that shuts them up every time without exception. I haven't not once lost an argument when I said this simple phrase. And that is, if Trump was being controlled by Putin, as you suggest, then why didn't he invade Ukraine when his own puppet, as you call him, was president? But no, he waited until Biden became president, which completely negates your theory that Putin was basically on the dole.
Absolutely.
For Putin, and that's irrefutable, Larry. It's irrefutable.
So one last question before I go. Kim Gardner, is there a possibility that the city of St. Louis can get this woman out of office? It would do so much good for the city of St. Louis to get rid of this woman.
Well, Larry, I'm going to tell you, not only is there a possibility, but there is a probability. And here's
why.
Here's why. I'm going to say this briefly. Even though I'm coming up on a break here, I'm going to go over a little bit because I want to answer your question. And that's this, that her hearing before the Missouri Supreme Court will take place on April 11 of this year. And I'm telling you right now, you can flag the tape and write it down. She will be found guilty of professional misconduct. The only question in my mind, Larry, is whether the sentencing will be a probation, a suspension of her law license, or a disbarment. And if her license is either suspended or if she's disbarred, under Missouri law, Larry, she is ineligible to be the circuit attorney, and she will be instantly legally removed from office. And not only that, but Governor Parson, under state law, is empowered to appoint her replacement.
Wow. Thank you.
And I'm telling you that if she will be found guilty, in my opinion, but I don't know at this point what the Missouri Supreme Court will do. If they just place her on probation but leave her law license intact, she will continue to be the circuit attorney. But I tend to think that the Supreme Court will either suspend her license or disbar her. And if either of those things happen, Larry, she's instantly no longer the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis.
They should put George Soros in the same pen, in the same prison cell with
her. Yeah, there's an empty cell over in Illinois where Rob Blagojevich was. They could put them both in that cell.
There you go. Thank you.
Larry, I appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Hey, coming up after the break, St. Louis University is denying the application of a conservative student group. Is this censorship? We're going to talk to members of that would-be group at St. Louis U, so you're going to want to stick around at your service. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
I think every university in America, including my alma mater at St. Louis University, they've just been bending to the wishes of the progressive left by banning conservative speech and religious speech over the past few years. We've seen it. If a conservative tries to speak at a university in California, they set police cars on fire. They burn trash cans. They grab their ears like their heads are melting at the mere suggestion of a conservative speaking on campus. But now we're seeing, I think, The latest example of St. Louis University's attempt to silence conservatives. I want to get into that. So joining us this evening are the tentative president and vice president of a suggested group at St. Louis U, Young Americans for Freedom, Nick Baker and Carter Fortman. Hey, guys, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Carter Fortman, I want to start with you. It was reported today that St. Louis University has denied recognition to a Young Americans for Freedom chapter on campus. Tell us a little bit about Young Americans for Freedom.
Yeah, so Young Americans for Freedom is this organization that was founded in 1960. And I'm a history major, so I like to go in the history of it. And around that time, the Republican and Democrat parties were, there was liberals and conservatives, within kind of both parties. So there needed to be a group that was just for conservatism, that focused on the ideology of conservatism. And so YAF kind of came about and made sure that was a thing. And so the tenets of YAFs and each YAF chapter that started at universities is ensuring that the increasing numbers of young Americans understand and are inspired by the ideas of individual freedom, a strong national defense, free enterprise, and traditional values, because those are often, the tenets that are missed in our current education system when, like 99% of the universities are left-leaning. So we really are trying to be a supplement to that liberal education that we often see on college campuses.
And when you mentioned Young Americans for Freedom, wasn't it started by William F. Buckley?
It was, yes. Yeah. I mean, he was, if you know anything about William F. Buckley, he was just a massive, he was big on conservative ideology, let's just say. And, he was big on ensuring that the ideals of conservatism were preserved and were passed on to the future generations. And we're trying to keep that same spirit alive with our SLU YAF chapter.
So I understand that St. Louis University has denied Young Americans for Freedom from coming on campus and being a recognized student group. What's the basis for SLU's position on this?
Yeah, Nick, do you maybe want to take that? I feel like you'd know a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So basically, in order to start a club here at SLU, we need to present to the student government. And so we put together a great presentation and had about 10 students who are hopefully going to become members of this organization, if we kind of could ever get it approved, go and sit in front of the panel of the student government leaders. And unfortunately, though, they ultimately told us and concerns over our inclusiveness and national articles written by the national organization, which was really just the national YAF exposing the craziness that happens here at this campus. So it's definitely a huge disappointment and really not okay.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned this denial. Was this something that was voted on, Nick, by the St. Louis University student government?
Yeah, it was. So it was a unanimous decision, but they wouldn't tell us why, aside from like these very vague, saying, "Oh, you already have college Republicans on campus, or you already have political roundtable, which hasn't actually been active in over a year." So they keep on making all these excuses, and they make this unanimous vote, but then we come back to them with questions, asking them to really elaborate or explain, and they really just turn us down, and they won't respond or engage in a discussion about it.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me, and I hope I'm not carrying this metaphor too far here, Nick, but it sounds to me like that the St. Louis University is saying, we're already giving you seats in the back of the bus. You don't have to sit in the front of the bus. We've already given you your two seats in the back with college Republicans. Isn't that enough? I mean, is that essentially what St. Louis U is telling you?
Yeah, it's basically what's going on here.
And to me, that's outrageous. And so, was this a transparent vote? In other words, do you know any of the details about the vote or who voted for what? Or has this been shrouded in secrecy?
Yeah, it's been shrouded in complete secrecy. So all that we know, I was able to ask the vice president of student organizations, was trying to get some more information about it. All she would tell me is that it was unanimous and closed anonymous votes, which is very concerning because anything in, like when students put themselves in positions of leadership, they should be able to own up to their decisions and not have to like cower away in the corner and just like stay away from answering questions.
Yeah, exactly. And Nick, your signal's coming in and out a little bit there. We're talking to Nick Baker and Carter Fortman. They were going to be the officers of Young Americans for Freedom until St. Louis University, my alma mater. Listen, I graduated from SLU Law. I loved St. Louis University, and it breaks my heart to see St. Louis University going against the ideals that I was taught in their very law school about freedom of speech, the freedom of thought, the benefit from expression, the benefit from even having conversations over differing opinions, and all of that seems to be now being risked or jeopardized on the campus of the university that I truly loved, and it breaks my heart. Carter Fortman, have you seen a trend at St. Louis University related to censoring the free speech rights of conservatives or even, ironically, Christians, given that it's a Catholic university?
Yeah, I mean, in classes, you're definitely not taught any worldview outside of the leftist worldview, let's just say. You're taught that to be a conservative is hate speech, essentially. And, I mean, this is a Catholic university, and so I think a lot of students come here. I went to SLU High, so, you know, I got a little bit of experience with Jesuit education. And so I came to St. Louis University sort of expecting a basis in Catholicism for a lot of my classes. And, you know, that I didn't really get that a whole lot. And I think a lot of that's just due to censoring a lot of the more conservative parts of Catholicism and of Christianity. You definitely see a lot of people on campus talking about social justice, and they often try and manipulate Christianity to fit their narratives. But then they ignore a lot of Christianity that is, you know, more pious and more conservative and stuff that doesn't necessarily agree with them, and that's what's a little bit most disheartening to me, is because they go from a stance that this is, you know, Christianity, this is Catholicism, and that we're in the wrong, but in actuality we are trying to live by, you know, the whole of Christianity, the whole of Catholicism and Christianity. Meanwhile, you don't really get the more pious and more conservative perspectives of Christianity, and you definitely don't get any viewpoints of conservatism on this campus at all.
We're talking to Nick Baker and Carter Fortman. Both of these gentlemen were going to be officers with the Young Americans for Freedom, but St. Louis University has decided to deny that organization's right to exist on campus. Nick Baker, I want to turn to you here for a moment, because as Carter just suggested a moment ago, a lot of times conservatives are squelched and censored under this idea, the alleged banner of protecting students from radical speech. But in my research today, didn't St. Louis U actually promote recently a presentation entitled, and I'm quoting, "Exploring Superpowers Through Transgender Identity and Faith," unquote?
Exactly, yeah. So that will be taking place on campus next week, where the Center for the Center for Social Justice will be hosting this sex-positive, kinky, queer pastor for a panel. So it really is really just very crazy. And like, this is a Catholic Jesuit university. They tell us that they're denying us on the grounds that we don't align with their faith, even though I myself am a Catholic, as are many of our members. But then they go turn around and invite this very odd person to come spread their expertise.
So let me just make sure that I've got this right. If you want to talk on campus and have an organization that's devoted to limited government, to exercising our rights under the Constitution, to promoting the idea of lower taxation as a way of actually lifting all boats and growing the economy in a way that's fair to all income levels and maintaining a strong national defense. That's speech that should be banned because it could harm someone, yet we're going to promote the exploring superpowers through transgender identity and hosting a sex-positive kinky pastor. Is that what I'm hearing? I think we've lost Nick. Carter, what are your thoughts? Do you see the disparity that I'm outlining there? Doesn't that seem completely backwards?
Yeah. And I mean, me and Nick have you know, pondered all about this. And what we've, you know, come to the conclusion is, you know, at this point, we'll take anything. Well, you know, we're fine with them, you know, having their whatever point of views they have. But, you know, that's why it's so disheartening when they don't even let conservatives have an opinion, is because, you know, they have an opinion. It's very loud. But we're not even allowed to have our measly club meetings. We're not even able to have just a single YAF chapter. You know, just asking for two clubs is asking too much from the conservative point of view.
Wow, that's just completely backwards. And I remember, I wasn't alive then, but when I was in law school, I studied the idea that in schools, creationism used to be the only thing that's taught. And the evolutionists always would promote the argument, again, way before my time, but I studied in law school. But the evolutionists would promote that we should have a balanced point of view. There shouldn't be simply one view expressed in our schools. And that was how evolution started to be taught in schools. And yet now that the shoe's on the other foot, all we're hearing is progressivism, 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 and we can't even allow a hint of conservatism to be brought into the idea marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy. Nick Baker and Carter Fortman, I'm going to be following how this progresses. I'm hoping that there's some sort of a review process, but I thank you guys for joining us this evening on KMOX.
Yep, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's great to talk to you both. Phone lines are open. What do you think about that? That the university is essentially saying, you've got one conservative group. That's enough. We don't need too much conservatism going on around here. Yet how many progressive, left-wing, wacky, and some other words come to mind that don't pass FCC muster, but all of those groups are fine, but we can just have one conservative group on campus. Is that fair? Is that content-based discrimination? And is that the way American colleges are supposed to be when they're supposed to be a marketplace of ideas? What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. Call or text. I would like to hear from you. At your service, KMOX. We'll be right back. Well, the text line's lighting up. Thank you, folks. 314-436-7900. One, I got to tell you, Mary Lynn, you made me laugh. She said, Mary Lynn texted in and said, when you make your alumni donation, paperclip a note to a $1 bill and have the note say, quote, this is to help St. Louis University get its head out of its blank, unquote. Yeah, I'm sure that would really change minds. But I got a text from someone else who said, and I don't understand this. The text says, personally, I'd much rather listen to a kinky queer pastor than Nick Baker, pasty blank. Title IX violators should hold no positions of power. Well, it seems to me, I don't understand how conservatives are being lumped in with a Title IX violator. In fact, I would suggest that the Title IX violators right now are the progressives in this country who are allowing men to participate in women's sports. Now, my daughter was a recipient of Title IX benefits. She received a 4-year full-ride scholarship for rowing at the University of Kansas. She was recruited by Ohio State, by Michigan State, and by Boston College. And yet she wanted to go to University of Kansas. Okay, that's fine. They got a great basketball team, and I got 4 years of free education for my daughter. But my point is, on the women's team, they don't allow men on the team. And if you allowed a man to be rowing in the boat And the only difference between the two is that the man is wearing a wig. At that point, is it really celebrating the point and the purpose of Title IX? Or is it making a mockery of Title IX? Absolutely, it's a mockery of Title IX. We don't have a whole lot of time left in the show, so I want to leave some time here to get back to the analysis of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Because, and I'm going to mix these up in the order of this, Matt, because we're just talking about this issue of gender. And this shows the absurdity of the progressive left today. This is a question by Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. It's a very simple question. And here's what she asked Judge Jackson during the confirmation hearings.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law, and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not...
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
Now, here's why that's so absurd. Number one, the Judge Jackson couldn't even say what a woman is. Now, here's a very simple definition. A woman is a person with two X chromosomes. How about that? A man is a person with an X and Y chromosome. That would be a very simple answer. But Judge Jackson couldn't say that. Why? Because the progressive left today can't even tell you what a woman is. So when I received a text calling Nick Baker and the Young Americans for Freedom Title IX violators, who's the Title IX violator when you have the progressive left today can't even define what a woman is? How can you enforce and apply Title IX if you can't even define a woman? What is the definition of a woman? Can't define it. Can't define it. It's ludicrous. It's outrageous. And yet, here's what's even more outrageous when it comes to Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She may be, I don't know, I haven't given her any IQ tests, but it's very possible that when she gets, and she will be approved to the Supreme Court, when she's on the Supreme Court, she might be the smartest jurist on the Supreme Court. But according to Biden, he vowed he would only consider black women to be nominated to the Supreme Court. So how is it that Judge Jackson can't define what a woman is, but she was more than happy to self-identify as a woman in order to be considered for the position that President Biden limited to women? Can President Biden define what a woman is? He's the one who said, I will only consider a black woman. But if Biden can't define what a woman is, then could you have a dude in a dress say, I want to be on the Supreme Court? If you can't define what it is, then how can you determine who is within and who is without of the definition that you have created? That's what I want to know. And that's what the progressive left can't seem to define. How simple a question. What is a woman? And if to me, it seems that if Judge Jackson cannot define what that is, then how can she accept a job that is limited to a type of human that she cannot define? That's what I want to know. It seems almost as if she has self-excluded herself from consideration for the Supreme Court because she can't determine whether she is or is not a woman. Hey, more to come. I know we've got some more texts. We've got some calls coming in. We'll be back after this on At Your Service, KMOX. Well, let's jump right back into the Ketanji Brown Jackson analysis here for our last segment. One of the things that I've been critical about Josh Hawley for a lot of things while he's been in the Senate. But one of the things that I was very proud to have him on television in the hearings questioning Judge Jackson the way he did. I thought he did a fabulous, fabulous job. And here's why. He wasn't emotional. He wasn't grandstanding. He wasn't putting up silly pictures to get a gotcha moment. He was legitimately wanting to have a discussion with Judge Jackson about her philosophy. And he questioned Jackson very closely on her record on sex offenders. And he gave multiple examples of how in situations involving child pornography, that the sentencing guidelines were between 100 and 120 months of being in prison. That's the federal sentencing guidelines. And Judge Jackson would routinely sentence people to 5 or 10 months in prison for crimes involving sexual pornography with regards to children, child pornography. And with regard to that, he pointed out that it's been throughout her career as a judge, it's not just been one or two, but it's a consistent tendency for her to release people on child pornography far below what the sentencing guidelines are, and that's published by the United States Congress. And so when he pointed those things out to her, she really had no explanation. She could not explain conceptually why she was consistently lenient on people convicted of child pornography. And so crime is a legitimate issue for her, particularly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer.
and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Well, the text line's lighting up. Thank you, folks. 314-436-7900. One, I got to tell you, Mary Lynn, you made me laugh. She said, Mary Lynn texted in and said, when you make your alumni donation, paperclip a note to a $1 bill and have the note say, quote, this is to help St. Louis University get its head out of its blank, unquote. Yeah, I'm sure that would really change minds. But I got a text from someone else who said, and I don't understand this. The text says, personally, I'd much rather listen to a kinky queer pastor than Nick Baker, pasty blank. Title IX violators should hold no positions of power. Well, it seems to me, I don't understand how conservatives are being lumped in with a Title IX violator. In fact, I would suggest that the Title IX violators right now are the progressives in this country who are allowing men to participate in women's sports. Now, my daughter was a recipient of Title IX benefits. She received a four-year full-ride scholarship for rowing at the University of Kansas. She was recruited by Ohio State, by Michigan State, and by Boston College. And yet she wanted to go to University of Kansas. Okay, that's fine. They got a great basketball team, and I got 4 years of free education for my daughter. But my point is, on the women's team, they don't allow men on the team. And if you allowed a man to be rowing in the boat, and the only difference between the two is that the man is wearing a wig, at that point, is it really celebrating the point and the purpose of Title IX? Or is it making a mockery of Title IX? Absolutely, it's a mockery of Title IX. We don't have a whole lot of time left in the show, so I want to leave some time here to get back to the analysis of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Because, and I'm gonna mix these up in the order of this, Matt, because we're just talking about this issue of gender. And this shows the absurdity of the progressive left today. This is a question by Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. It's a very simple question. And here's what she asked Judge Jackson during the confirmation hearings.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law, and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not...
The fact that you... can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
Now, here's why that's so absurd. Number one, the Judge Jackson couldn't even say what a woman is. Now, here's a very simple definition. A woman is a person with two X chromosomes. How about that? A man is a person with an X and Y chromosome. That would be a very simple answer. But Judge Jackson couldn't say that. Why? Because the progressive left today can't even tell you what a woman is. So when I received a text calling Nick Baker and the Young Americans for Freedom Title IX violators, who's the Title IX violator when you have the progressive left today can't even define what a woman is? How can you enforce and apply Title IX if you can't even define a woman? What is the definition of a woman? Can't define it. Can't define it. It's ludicrous. It's outrageous. And yet, here's what's even more outrageous when it comes to Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She may be, I don't know, I haven't given her any IQ tests, But it's very possible that when she gets, and she will be approved to the Supreme Court, when she's on the Supreme Court, she might be the smartest jurist on the Supreme Court. But according to Biden, he vowed he would only consider black women to be nominated to the Supreme Court. So how is it that Judge Jackson can't define what a woman is, but she was more than happy to self-identify as a woman in order to be considered for the position that President Biden limited to women? Can President Biden define what a woman is? He's the one who said, I will only consider a black woman. But if Biden can't define what a woman is, then could you have a dude in a dress say, I want to be on the Supreme Court? If you can't define what it is, then how can you determine who is within and who is without of the definition that you have created? That's what I want to know. And that's what the progressive left can't seem to define. How simple a question. What is a woman? And if to me, it seems that if Judge Jackson cannot define what that is, then how can she accept a job that is limited to a type of human that she cannot define? That's what I want to know. It seems almost as if she has self-excluded herself from consideration for the Supreme Court because she can't determine whether she is or is not a woman. Hey, more to come. I know we've got some more texts. We've got some calls coming in. We'll be back after this on At Your Service, KMOX. Well, let's jump right back into the Ketanji Brown Jackson analysis here for our last segment. One of the things that I've been critical about Josh Hawley for a lot of things while he's been in the Senate. But one of the things that I was very proud to have him on television in the hearings questioning Judge Jackson the way he did. I thought he did a fabulous, fabulous job. And here's why. He wasn't emotional. He wasn't grandstanding. He wasn't putting up silly pictures to get a gotcha moment. He was legitimately wanting to have a discussion with Judge Jackson about her philosophy. And he questioned Jackson very closely on her record on sex offenders. And he gave multiple examples of how in situations involving child pornography, that the sentencing guidelines were between 100 and 120 months of being in prison. That's the federal sentencing guidelines. And Judge Jackson would routinely sentence people to 5 or 10 months in prison for crimes involving sexual pornography with regards to children, child pornography. And with regard to that, he pointed out that it's been throughout her career as a judge, it's not just been one or two, but it's a consistent tendency for her to release people on child pornography far below what the sentencing guidelines are, and that's published by the United States Congress. And so when he pointed those things out to her, she really had no explanation. She could not explain conceptually why she was consistently lenient on people convicted of child pornography. And so crime is a legitimate issue for her, particularly when she says that she's going to take critical race theory into consideration as a judge for sentencing guidelines. And I've already pointed out in this show why that's a bad idea. Justice should be blind without giving preference to those who are white, and not giving preference to those who are black, and not giving preference to anyone based upon their race. Justice is and should be blind. And you don't fix that problem, whatever problem that does exist, you don't fix a problem with discrimination by having more discrimination. That is not the answer. So Tom Cotton also was questioning Judge Jackson on her positions on crime and her leniency when it comes to sentencing as a judge. And here is just a little bit of that exchange between Senator Tom Cotton and Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Written about that in your writings, there's four purposes of punishment. One of those is deterrence. Isn't it inherent in the concept of deterrence that people are less likely to commit crime if they're more likely to get caught, convicted, and sentenced? Why can't you just say that's the case?
Senator, it's not that I'm avoiding saying that's the case.
No, Judge, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm asking a very simple question. In general, is someone more likely or less likely to commit a crime if they know they're going to be caught, convicted, and sentenced?
It's very difficult to answer questions in general when you're asking about things like phenomena related to crime. It's the theory behind deterrence that by punishing someone, they will be less likely to commit the crime in the future. That is a theory that
do you think that theory is correct?
Senator, there is research that supports that deterrence is something that can occur. Does it occur in every case? I can't say that.
Well, and that exchange was fascinating because to me, the point of these nomination hearings isn't to get people to say how they're going to rule on certain cases. That's always been a problem at Supreme Court nomination hearings, and I don't believe that they should be asked. So if Judge Jackson were asked, how would you rule on Obamacare? How would you rule on the constitutionality of abortion? I don't think judges should ever give those opinions in a nomination hearing. But that's not what the Republicans were doing this time. They were getting to the heart of what is your judicial philosophy. And folks, that is open season. That's exactly what these hearings should be doing, which is getting to the heart of your philosophy. Not asking you to prejudge cases, but talking about your philosophy. And Judge Jackson has a philosophy of leniency on crime. And you heard when Tom Cotton asked her, should that be a method by which we deter people from committing crime? By the assuredness of going to prison, is that a deterrence to crime? And she wouldn't even answer. The closest that she got to that was to say, well, the theory goes that punishing people for crime might be a deterrence. But she never gave her opinion on it. She never said, yes, I believe that incarcerating criminals for violating the law is a deterrence for additional criminal activity, both for that defendant and for all other would-be defendants who are considering the commission of a crime. That should have been her answer. It could have been answered in 25 seconds, but she chose not to even answer her judicial philosophy. Now, contrast that with what happened when Amy Coney Barrett was in her nomination hearings, when Brett Kavanaugh was in his nomination hearings. It was all about slamming them personally. It was all about dragging them through the dirt. And it was all about questioning their character. Folks, that was wrong then. But that's not happening now. You're not seeing that happening. What you're seeing is the Republicans legitimately trying to determine her judicial philosophy, and she's refusing to answer. The Republicans aren't bringing forth people from Judge Jackson's high school that said that, you know, they were molested by her in high school, which probably didn't happen. And if it did, it was in high school. It has nothing to do with judicial philosophy. So I was very upset with the treatment of the Republican nominees to the Supreme Court. And now that we have a Democrat nominee, there's legitimate questioning and the Democrats are protecting her. So let me just recap here. Judge Jackson does not know what a woman is. She proudly sits on the board of a school that pushes critical race theory on young children and has an appalling history of leniency towards child sex offenders. That's the way I see it. And the Democrats are up for re-election and they're running on using her as a poster child? My goodness, on those three positions alone, voters should be running away from Democrats as fast as they possibly can. Brad Young at your service tonight on Camo X. Dave Glover coming up in just 10 minutes on Camo X. Well, let's jump right back into the Ketanji Brown Jackson analysis here for our last segment. One of the things that I've been critical about Josh Hawley for a lot of things while he's been in the Senate. But one of the things that I was very proud to have him on television in the hearings questioning Judge Jackson the way he did. I thought he did a fabulous, fabulous job. And here's why. He wasn't emotional. He wasn't grandstanding. He wasn't putting up silly pictures to get a gotcha moment. He was legitimately wanting to have a discussion with Judge Jackson about her philosophy. And he questioned Jackson very closely on her record on sex offenders. And he gave multiple examples of how in situations involving child pornography, that the sentencing guidelines were between 100 and 120 months of being in prison. That's the federal sentencing guidelines. And Judge Jackson would routinely sentence people to 5 or 10 months in prison for crimes involving sexual pornography with regards to children, child pornography. And with regard to that, he pointed out that it's been throughout her career as a judge, it's not just been one or two, but it's a consistent tendency for her to release people on child pornography far below what the sentencing guidelines are, and that's published by the United States Congress. And so when he pointed those things out to her, she really had no explanation. She could not explain conceptually why she was consistently lenient on people convicted of child pornography. And so crime is a legitimate issue for her, particularly when she says that she's going to take critical race theory into consideration as a judge for sentencing guidelines. And I've already pointed out in this show why that's a bad idea. Justice should be blind without giving preference to those who are white and not giving preference to those who are black and not giving preference to anyone based upon their race. Justice is and should be blind. And you don't fix that problem, whatever problem that does exist, you don't fix a problem with discrimination by having more discrimination. That is not the answer. So Tom Cotton also was questioning Judge Jackson on her positions on crime and her leniency when it comes to sentencing as a judge. And here is just a little bit of that exchange between Senator Tom Cotton and Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Written about that in your writings, there's four purposes of punishment. One of those is deterrence. Isn't it inherent in the concept of deterrence that people are less likely to commit crime if they're more likely to get caught, convicted, and sentenced? Why can't you just say that's the case?
Senator, it's not that I'm avoiding saying that's the case.
No, Judge, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm asking a very simple question. In general, is someone more likely or less likely to commit a crime if they know they're going to be caught, convicted, and sentenced?
It's
the heart of deterrence.
It's very difficult to answer questions in general when you're asking about things like phenomena related to crime. It's the theory behind deterrence that by punishing someone, they will be less likely to commit the crime in the future. That is a theory that
do you think that theory is correct?
Senator, there is research that supports that deterrence is something that can occur. Does it occur in every case? I can't say that.
Well, and that exchange was fascinating because to me, the point of these nomination hearings isn't to get people to say how they're going to rule on certain cases. That's always been a problem at Supreme Court nomination hearings, and I don't believe that they should be asked. So if Judge Jackson were asked, how would you rule on the Obamacare? How would you rule on the constitutionality of abortion? I don't think justice or judges should ever give those opinions in a nomination hearing. But that's not what the Republicans were doing this time. They were getting to the heart of what is your judicial philosophy. And folks, that is open season. That's exactly what these hearings should be doing, which is getting to the heart of your philosophy, not asking you to prejudge cases, but talking about your philosophy. And Judge Jackson has a philosophy of leniency on crime. And you heard when Tom Cotton asked her, should that be a method by which we deter people from committing crime, by the assuredness of going to prison, is that a deterrence to crime? And she wouldn't even answer. The closest that she got to that was to say, well, the theory goes that punishing people for crime might be a deterrence. But she never gave her opinion on it. She never said, yes, I believe that incarcerating criminals for violating the law is a deterrence for additional criminal activity, both for that defendant and for all other would-be defendants who are considering the commission of a crime. That should have been her answer. It could have been answered in 25 seconds. But she chose not to even answer her judicial philosophy. Now, contrast that with what happened when Amy Coney Barrett was in her nomination hearings, when Brett Kavanaugh was in his nomination hearings. It was all about slamming them personally. It was all about dragging them through the dirt. And it was all about questioning their character. Folks, that was wrong then. But that's not happening now. You're not seeing that happening. What you're seeing is the Republicans legitimately trying to determine her judicial philosophy, and she's refusing to answer. The Republicans aren't bringing forth people from Judge Jackson's high school that said that, you know, they were molested by her in high school, which probably didn't happen. And if it did, it was in high school. It has nothing to do with judicial philosophy. So I was very upset with the treatment of the Republican nominees to the Supreme Court. And now that we have a Democrat nominee, there's legitimate questioning and the Democrats are protecting her. So let me just recap here. Judge Jackson does not know what a woman is. She proudly sits on the board of a school that pushes critical race theory on young children and has an appalling history of leniency towards child sex offenders. That's the way I see it. And the Democrats are up for re-election and they're running on using her as a poster child? My goodness, on those three positions alone, voters should be running away from Democrats as fast as they possibly can. Brad Young at your service tonight on Camo X. Dave Glover coming up in just 10 minutes on Camo X.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.